Voice of God. We call to order the regular meeting of the Groundwater Replenishment System Steering Committee of Monday, October 9th, 2023. Will you please all rise for the Pledge of Allegiance by OC San Vice Chair Ryan Gallagher?
Please face the flag. Me? I
pledge allegiance to the flag of the
United States of America, for which stands one nation, God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, everybody. Madam Clerk, will you please call the roll?
Roll call. Director Vonka?
Here.
Director Green? Director Gallagher?
Here.
Director Rowe?
Here.
Director Schauver? Director Tran? Director Yeo?
Here.
Director Uten? Director Nguyen?
Here.
Director Dina Nguyen? Director Sheldon? Director Burns? You do have a quorum of your committee.
Do you have any members of the public here that would like to speak? If you are here, please raise your hand. Madam Clerk, do we have any electronic communications or written communications?
I see no hands, no.
Okay. We have item number one on the consent calendar. We have a motion to approve.
Move it.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Abstain? Thank you. Item number two is, I put this item on the agenda. This is a consideration to change the GWRS steering committee meetings from quarterly to twice a year. Since the final expansion, my thinking with this is, these are going to become just really update meetings. And I felt like it would be appropriate for us to move it to twice a year rather than having them four times a year. Mehul's got some more information for us on that.
Yeah, thank you, Chair. Members of the committee, I just wanted to point out that the GWRS Steering Committee was formed as part of the joint operating agreement between Orange County Sanitation District and Orange County Water District. And so moving it to a different meeting duration being biannually instead of quarterly, there's no issue with that. We just wanted to point out, staff want to point out that one of the requirements for the Water District is to present the operating and maintenance budget for GWRS as a way to show Orange County Sanitation District that we're investing properly in the operation and maintenance of the system and can provide the flood relief capability that's part of our agreement and to justify the sanitation district's investment in our project. And that typically occurs in April, which is when the Orange County Water District sets its fiscal year budget for the following fiscal year. So whatever direction the committee wants is fine. We would just suggest that consider April as one of the meetings if we switch to twice a year instead of quarterly so that we can continue to present the budget, the water district. And then whatever the other duration may be, during one of the two meetings, we would have to pick a new chair for the committee. And we've always switched from one agency to the next. This year, it's Chair Vonka from OC San. So the next calendar year, it would traditionally fall to someone from the Water District to be the chair of the committee.
Any discussion or questions on this? Director Schauver?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I was just, I know that we can call a special meeting anytime we want. I'm concerned about regulation coming down from the governor's office on water. It's going to be quite lengthy and probably a lot to digest. I'm concerned about not only what it's going to do to GWRS, but also to the, of course, our colleagues here in the Sand District. So as that progresses, if we need to have meetings, I would like to keep that in the back of everyone's mind. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. Yeah, my recommendation would be that we take the information Mahul's given us, have it be April and October. Get the budget presentation in April. And if we need an additional meeting, if there's something urgent that comes up, I think it would be appropriate for the chair to call a special meeting. Director Rowe?
I think we should maintain the quarterly meetings. As I agree with Director Schauver, that conservation as a way of life is going to impact us, however the state comes down on us. And I'm concerned about the amount of salinity that's coming in through the coast because of this expansion impacting our operations. I don't want it to be a quarterly thing. I think it's important that we try to address what we can to identify and investigate the how the contamination is getting into the sewer line that's impacting our system. And half a year is too long of a wait. I think it should be a routine thing. That's an important thing for, as far as I'm concerned, to fix.
Director Gallagher?
I agree that the water policy issues coming down, legislation, certainly a big deal. But this policy group is really focused on the contractual obligations of this joint committee and looking at the operations. I think for that reason, we could save a lot of money. I don't think we're covering a lot outside of that. I think it's the right thing to do financially. And as far as that issue, I completely agree. The TDS issue is of concern. But I have all the faith that the staff can address that. And I'm not sure we're going to have much policy discussion on that in these meetings. So I would lay that out.
Sir, Robert?
I'm going to go ahead and second your motion. But I would also like to add to that, if something does come up in a timely manner and our staff is aware of it, or any of our board members are aware of it, they can reach out to the chair and to the directors and we can schedule a meeting. Thank you.
Mahol, what would be the process be if we needed to schedule a special meeting?
Just inform myself, Mike Marcus, and we'll work with our district secretary to get it set up and posted in the proper amount
Mike
of time.
Know about it is
or Mike's predecessor.
Call.
Consultant. Either agency. I would just note that these meetings have been going on since 1997. And that's when the first meeting took place. Rob remembers that. And, you know, it was very important in the early days to have these meetings on a regular basis, to put the issues forward to the directors so that they were aware of what was going on. And Mehul is correct. Contractually, we're only obligated to have one meeting, an annual meeting. I think that in the past committees, and I can speak from experience because I've attended almost all of those committee meetings, I have very much been interested in what's going on, not necessarily making policy decisions at every meeting, but certainly understanding what the challenges have been along the way. For instance, when we started, we had a problem with pipelining, and we've attempted to resolve that issue. We do have problems with salinity right now that are very challenging and of concern, I think, to both agencies. With the amount of construction that's going on at OC Sand, at Plant 2, that is affecting the production of the water. I think the issues are very important to be able to relay to the directors from both agencies so that they're aware. We can say that we're operating at 130 MGD, but right now we don't have that capability. And for the last, you'll hear, I'm kind of stealing Mabel's thunder, but for the last 6 weeks, we've been limited by the amount of flows because of construction that's gone on at Plant 2. I think those are important issues for directors to be aware of. And that's something that even if it were an informational meeting, could be brought to light so that the directors could remain updated, because your constituents are going to ask you, what's going on. Everyone, we're starting to learn more and more, or people are starting to learn more and more about GWRS. We're starting to get questions. We have a lot of people that are coming through. We certainly want to keep the directors up to date so that they're aware of what's going on and they can answer those questions. And that is something that a quarterly meeting would give you. So I'm just putting that out there, obviously not making a recommendation, but those are some of the issues that I can see.
Thank you. Let me just say to the board members, I've been on a commission actually with Director Shaver, the Orange County Waste Management Commission. It wasn't long after I got on the commission before I realized that staff was trying to find stuff to put on the agenda for us, because there was work for us to do periodically, but there wasn't as much work as we had meetings. And it was important to me as chair there that, quite frankly, we weren't wasting staff time, we weren't wasting our own time, and we weren't wasting the public's dollar on paying for stipends. And I think that there's a lot of information that could be presented at these meetings, could also be emailed to us, and doesn't need to be in a formal meeting situation. So quite frankly, I don't really care if the board, the committee would like to meet Yeah, you can make a meeting monthly, I guess, if you wanted. But my recommendation was that we move it to twice a year and have special meetings as needed. And if there's additional, I expect that staff would update us anyways with any pertinent critical information, anything that happens on an ongoing basis. So this was my idea. I'm happy to carry it. I appreciate staff's input. So I would say again that we move to an April and October meeting with additional meetings called on an as needed basis. So Dr. Yeo?
Yeah, thank you, Chair Vanka. I've been serving on this committee since 2004. And yes, staff is right. And the comments from the directors are also accurate that things are have dwindled down quite a bit since the final expansion come on online. So I was thinking, by the way, I'm not voting anymore. Van is there. So I was thinking that perhaps we could keep it quarterly, but it's up to the chair to dictate whether we need a meeting or not a quarter.
Yeah.
If staff is struggling to come up with
you can always catch
agenda, as you mentioned, I think it's appropriate for them to perhaps, for those of us who are interested, just email that information, unless there are some issues that need this body to take action collectively. Maybe that's something that we could consider. Thank you.
I found that staff is typically not really willing to tell electeds that they don't have anything for them to meet on. I wouldn't actually expect staff to tell us that necessarily. It's probably not great career-wise. I've been a staffer before too. I know a lot of us have. My feeling was that this way we can call it as needed if we need it. If staff thinks that we need something, we can call a meeting at any time. So I didn't think we were going to even have this much discussion on it, but Director Green.
Wrong agency. We're told often. Whether
exactly.
I was going to say, come to our meetings. They're a little different.
A lot of meetings.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, we do. We do. And I, to be perfectly honest, I'm not one that likes to cancel meetings, because when I was on the city council, I would cancel meetings and the next meeting would be a monster. So because of my experience, I don't tend to like to, but we do cancel meetings all the time. So for us, it's not that big a deal. I think one reason I am hesitant about doing this is right now, we're not really completely online. We're not up to 130 million gallons a day. We've had some challenges right now. And so I'd kind of like to wait until we get to where we're supposed to be, where we think we're going to do, and just see how we have new vessels or new membranes. We think that's going to completely take care of the TDS or the salt, the salinity problems. But I would like to really see where we are before we back off. I agree, we probably don't need the meetings, but until we're just at the point that we don't have to worry about where we are. So when everything gets back online, we know what's going on, everything is expected, let's do it then.
Okay. Well, I'll call the question. We have a first and a second. You want to call the roll?
Roll call, Director Vanka?
Yes.
Director Green?
No.
Director Gallagher?
Yes.
Director Rowe?
No.
Director Shaver?
Yes.
Director Tran?
He said yes.
He said yes.
All right. Thank you, everybody. We'll move on to...
The motion actually fails.
It's four to pass.
Well, no, it takes two directors from each agency to affirmatively pass a...
That's not a good rule.
Chad?
Yes.
Let me just throw this out. You know, you and I have been around with many board meetings, so is Kathy. If we have quarterly meetings, it's pretty simple. If there's nothing on the agenda, just don't have the meeting and save the money.
I agree.
So I think that is a clear, easy picture that's going to satisfy everybody in this room.
It already failed. And quite frankly, I don't think we're ever going to not have a meeting, but it's okay. We will have a new chair next year anyways. So we'll let that chair decide if we need meetings or we don't need meetings. So that's the end of the consent calendar. We have several informational items. On to item three, which is the GWRS ops update.
Well, thank you, Chair. I have a brief verbal update on how the GWRS is doing in our production. So our production goal for this year is 134,000 acre feet in our fiscal year, and that's based upon the final expansion being complete prior to the start of the fiscal year, which started on July 1st. So our production to date is 28,041 acre feet. And if we average 134,000 acre feet over the course of a fiscal year, we should be closer to 33,775 acre feet. So there's a shortfall of about 5,700 acre feet. A large component of that, as a OCWD general manager mentioned, is there's been some construction at Plant 2 that we knew about that was scheduled ahead of time. And that construction lasted from August 7th to October 3rd, essentially not allowing us to take any Plant 2 water. So rather than a higher production, we were averaging around 95 MGD during that period. That construction was recently completed, and there's a multitude of work that needed to be done that required co-mingling of the reclaimable and non-reclaimable lines, and that's why we were not taking the Plant 2 flows. And so as of October 3rd, we're now back averaging between 115 and 120 MGD, and we're slowly starting to ramp the production back up after we ensure everything's working properly after having the pump station at Plant 2 sit idle for so long. So I think we'll be back up, and I think by the next update, we'll be closer to our production goal and try to make up for this shortfall period. And that's what's shown in the staff report with the red arrow on the production graph, the one that started with Director Yeo back in, I think, 2008. Yeah.
Okay. Discussion? Questions?
Yeah.
Director Yeo.
Thank you, Chair Ivanka. I got a question for Mayhole. So I was trying to get my calculator out to try to figure out where this line ends at the end of June. So do we take into consideration all the anticipated activities that may actually cause reduction in the production? I'm seeing you nodding heads, right? So
yeah.
This projection is actually taking that activity into consideration.
Yeah, so the 134,000 acre feet is based on our historic online factor and takes into account known outages. We have 2 to 3 a year. They're mostly associated with preventative maintenance on our medium voltage electrical gear that requires full outage. And then we leave a little allocation of a couple of days for unforeseen outages, which we've had in the past, Edison issues, other issues. So yeah, that number is reflective of any anticipated outages over the fiscal year.
Okay, but if this is anticipated, wouldn't the two lines still overlap each other? Because we anticipated that.
Well, two things. We anticipate it, but we are also assuming our production remains consistent at between 125 and 130 MGD every day. But then we had this construction work at Plant 2 that we didn't know about until after we set our fiscal year budget, because the Water District sets our budget back in April of the prior to the fiscal year starting. And this construction work ended up getting scheduled after that. The final dates were fixed after our production goal was set.
General Manager Thompson.
So the work at Plant 2 isn't work necessarily that was scheduled a year ago. A lot of our work is scheduled a couple of months in advance. So at Plant 2, I just want to remind you of the complexity that's going on. We split the plant. That means there are two sides, one reclaimable, one non-reclaimable. If either of them are compromised for capacity, we have to commingle to have enough capacity so we don't spill. Our number one goal is environmental. We can't spill. That's sacrosanct. We make sure that that's not going to happen. The things we got done were some oxygen updates. Oxygen, pretty crazy chemical when you're dealing with it. We had to take one train out of service, put a new temporary tank in service so we could do vaporization in a way that was safe and effective. That took a little bit longer. In addition, While that was being done, we also fixed our primary basins. Again, only four primary basins go to our unreclaimable flow stream. So if one or two of them are unavailable, we're lacking capacity, have a Hillary blow through, we start to commingle. So some things are plantable, some things are just going to happen. Plant two will always be a bit of a dance as we're trying to run two smaller plants side by side. If there's any doubt where we're going to have capacity issues, there will be these kinds of outages.
Okay. Thank you for the detailed explanation.
Commissioner Green?
Thank you. That answered my questions.
Any other questions or?
All right, we'll move on to item number four.
Or we'll have a presentation by Rob Thompson, General Manager, Orange County Sanitation District. And this was an item the committee asked to be placed on this board meeting, and we'll probably have it on as kind of a standing item going forward, depending on the direction from the committee.
I give it a shot. It was close.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, for the opportunity. As you're all aware, Plant 2 has been dealing with salinity issues. We're finding some what's obviously seawater intrusion into the collection system, both in Newport Beach and Huntington Beach. Staff have been working hand in hand with both city staffs as well as the water district, trying to locate where this is coming from. So to give you a bit of history, the water coming to the GWRS system is 3.39 parts per thousand. So I apologize. We're used to thinking in milligrams per liter, parts per million, and that's 33,000. So if you see ocean water, you can expect it to be between 35 parts per thousand. Normal sewers, as you'll see, a little over 1,000 is pretty common. So the fact that we're seeing 3.3 or 33,000 means that there's significant seawater coming into the system, moving us up from what we'd expect. Instead of 1,200, it's about 3,390. We knew that this was happening when we designed the system. We just didn't know we were getting as much as we currently are. So when the initial projections were done, it was 2,400 milligrams per liter, and we're seeing 3,390. To compensate for that in the short term, staff are using more plant one water and less plant two water. The blend is now projected to be 25 and 145. That just means we're pushing more water toward plant one and starving plant two. We were hoping to balance them a little better. And as we get this under control, we'll be able to balance them and shift the flow back. So it's important to understand how much salt we're talking about. In the system in total, we're talking about 2.2 million pounds per day. That is a significant salt outflow that's kept out of the aquifer. That's a big benefit. I want to remind you that there's also flow coming to the non-reclaimable side from the Inland Empire brine line that's also being bypassed, not going to the aquifer. So there is a significant amount of salt movement in this groundwater basin. It's, I think, attributable to a great extent by the amount of Colorado River water that has historically been imported. It tends to be high in salts coming in. And this system is doing a great job of, I think, improving the groundwater quality over time. And it is the highest quality water source in the basin. I never want to lose sight of that. So we are dealing with this little problem, but overall, I think the system's operating as designed and improving the overall quality of the groundwater basin. We have spent some time under the factors looking at what can be causing the problem. It's pretty clear that it's infiltration. It's probably cracks in lines, across the sandy inland areas. The water, as the tide comes in, the water level in the aquifer, in local aquifer, will climb, putting more head pressure on the groundwater outside of the pipe, pushing more water in. Because we do see a relationship between tides and salt level in the sewers in the area. We have, again, worked with the city of Newport Beach, especially. There was some concern about how they operate their tidal valves. And I'll go to a picture, which is actually worth 1,000 words. Along the coast, you can see A Street, 15th Street, Lido Pump Station. They're in very sandy, I wouldn't even call it soil, they're in sand. So all of those homes and areas, every local lateral, every city line is subject to this same pressure. Sanitation District, a number of years ago, replaced A Street, 15th, and Lido Pump Stations within the last 20 years. They're watertight. The trunk line going from A Street to Lido has been fully replaced and lined. So it's watertight as of about 4 years ago. And our sewer, our mains going down Newport have all been replaced up to Baybridge Pump Station. So all of our systems are tight. We don't think there's any groundwater intrusion into our system, but we're working with the local sewer service providers to make sure that that's covered. And so that's really where the focus is right now, is wet weather. We didn't see much change. It's dilution. It can only help us, actually. So it's really boiling down to looking for infiltration sources, which means cracked pipes, which are under groundwater levels. So to tell you where we're at, the coast trunk, which is Huntington Beach, which goes north from Plant 2, is a little better than it was in 2018. I think they've been working very hard in the city to fix their pipe infrastructure over time. It's a relatively small flow at 5 MGD. The Newport coastal run is where we see most of the intrusion, and that's where we're going to spend a lot of our time. I know Mark Vukovic is online here watching the meeting. He's been an active partner in this. It's about 10 MGD of flow coming in from the coast. A fraction of that is from the peninsula. So the peninsula going down, the peninsula is where you're seeing most of the action, and enough water is coming into those coastal, that peninsula line, that it's actually pushing the coastal line up higher. So you can see at Lido Pump Station, which is the final pump station in line, it's seems like it's about half seawater. If you figure seawater is about 33-19 versus Rocky Point Pump Station, which is above on the bluff area, is 1.26. So it's pretty clear where the water's coming from. It's now just going to be an active effort of us finding where the source of that contamination is coming from. The upside is we have identified a pretty cost-effective way to find this answer. There's a handheld instrument. You don't have to go do a bunch of lab studies. We took some lab samples. We compared it to what we were getting from this little handheld unit. And in our case, you don't want it to be handheld. You prefer a rope dunk. But we have a method going forward. We have agreement from the city to begin the effort. Now it's just a manpower situation. We have to make sure that we have the proper people pulling off manhole covers from the city, dunking this in, and then tracking back to find, the same way we would do normal sewer line investigation. If someone's dumping a chemical, you kind of figure out where it's coming from. You put in multiple sensors and you figure out where it's entering from above and below.
Okay. So the purple areas, you replaced or fixed the piping. It's coming from these red circles that are pushing in through the same area that you've already fixed. Is that the case?
No, let me try it one more time. So all the purple line is actually a force main, and it is a brand new pipe. And the Baybridge Pump Station, the Rocky Point Pump Station, and Bitter Point Pump Station all are part of that network.
Okay.
A Street pumps to 15th, pumps to Lido, and Lido also enters that force main system going to Bitter Point. So what's happening is what you see in gold is basically a new pipe. It's watertight. These three pump stations are relatively new. Their wet wells are lined. Their concrete wet wells lined with a vinyl liner. They're not leaking. What's happening is all of the homes and all of the city laterals in this area is where it's coming in.
Got it. Okay. I just wanted to.
So if you're a home built on that peninsula in 1930 and you had a clay pipe, we've had at least 3, 4, 5, 10 earthquakes. You're in sand, sand is settled. That clay pipe probably has a crack somewhere into the house. That's subject to any kind of groundwater as the tide's coming in and out, pushing ocean water into that pipe.
Okay.
So the solution would be to identify the laterals and then potentially slip one with a liner, which would eliminate the leakage coming into the main. I have a question on how many manholes are there between, say, Rito and 15?
Hey, that's my question.
On our system? Very few. The problem is the question would be how many city manholes are in that entire system. And we've done that, and those are the numbers that we have here. So the A Street, which is the first pump station in line, A Street is 9.6. So the smoking gun is somewhere between A and 15th in my mind, where you go from 9 to 17. There's something in that system feeding in. That's the next work ahead. We're going to go to where the city is coming into our line and then work backwards and try and find, in a perfect world, we find that one big pipe going under a bay, some sort of major crack. Yes. That we don't have a force main there. That's all gravity in gold. That is a gravity main. Only the purple is a force main.
And that's how long? About 4 miles. The gold.
That's like half a mile.
No,
it's longer than that. It's because I've had to walk it. it's a few miles.
Yeah.
All of the gold color one.
From A Street to Lido would be a few miles. I don't know off the top of my head.
Right. Well, I looked at the topography in the area, and the whole area is about 10 feet above sea level. Probably the sewer laterals are maybe 5 feet below the surface. And your mains pump stations are probably set about 10, 15 feet below the surface or 5 feet below sea level.
They're deeper than that.
Deeper than that? Okay.
When they were digging them, I remember they had a long reach excavator and he just kept pulling out sand. They had built a cofferdam. And the interesting part was you could actually watch the tide level in that hole when they were digging it, and it would go up and down through the day. So there is free flow of water through that sandy peninsula.
Well, I'm a hydrogeologist, and I think what happened is the city in putting their electrical underneath the ground, they had a set of dewatering pipes throughout the whole area and sucked up the fresh groundwater lens floating on the seawater ground in below that because of the difference in density. So they basically sucked up all the fresh water and made the seawater closer to the surface and have caused infiltration into these. So one suggestion I proposed before was if we could flood the area with fresh water to increase the freshwater lens, we wouldn't have so much salt water coming into the laterals because they'd be kind of protected by a freshwater groundwater lens.
And where would you get the fresh water?
Us. Just let open up, get going a hydrant out there and flood the area, have it sink in.
So from my perspective, our number one goal is to prevent infiltration into our system because we're pumping that water every day. It's not something, right. It's not an expense we want either. So we are committed to working with the city to work back, look for those big smoking guns. I don't think it's going to be cost effective to repair every cracked clay pipe under a residence on the peninsula. I'm hoping we will report back in 3 months that we have been able to locate. That big smoking gun, that one big pipe that's causing two-thirds of the problem. But we'll see. It will be laborious because there are thousands of manholes in the city system in the area. So it's a lot of work. The city's going to prioritize helping us. We've been talking to them. Water District is going to provide staff, just manpower to pop lids with supervision, take measurements. It's just going to be a little bit of work. Luckily, the instrument will provide pretty instant feedback and is cheap to operate.
I was just going to say there could be a water quality angle on this also, because where you have infiltration, you could also have exfiltration. So theoretically, there could be some wastewater or sewage going down.
Sewer guy says nay. Never. That is not possible. The groundwater level is so high, it will never exfiltrate. Heresy.
We're going in and just dipping manholes. I guess my question would be, should the city be doing some type of CCTV? Because isn't it, first off, I would assume they want to know the condition of their own pipe, but this instrument may not, like you said, the tides are going up and down. What if you sample when it's low? You may not pick that up, whereas the CCTV would capture a cracked pipe and identify you.
This is, I would equate it to say it's a little like a triage system. We're just looking for where to do the big assessments. Obviously, you're just going to be in a manhole with this dipped. You'll see a difference. Even if it's low tide, you should see a difference. If you have that big leak, you'll see something, because the numbers are just way too high on a normal basis. So once you determine where it is, that's where we'll work with the city. And again, they have the same situation. They have local pump stations in this area too, because it is very flat. It is very low lying. There isn't a lot of depth to go. So everyone is incentivized to save energy, not pump, and not waste water. Director Rowe?
You have kind of an odd sentence here on the first page. So local sewers are not owned or operated by the OC SAM, but instead by local cities or sand districts. Your point being is you don't own it, but you made it think who does own it. It's Newport Beach, basically.
In this area, it's owned by the city of Newport Beach.
Owned by Newport Beach.
Except for the laterals, which are owned by the residents.
Ah, okay. That's the point.
Rob, do we have a contractual arrangement with the city of Newport Beach that would require them to do this research? And when we find the problem, then I'm assuming that the cost repair is on them.
Correct.
It's their pipe.
Right. We have an ordinance, a local sewer service ordinance, which prevents them from letting groundwater just freely. When you become aware of a problem, you're obligated to fix it.
But we have to make them aware of the problem.
Not necessarily.
So shouldn't they be the ones that do the testing?
We're working in a cooperative fashion to help all parties involved. And with the city of Huntington Beach also, we've identified a hot spot or two right by the channel near the power plant at Newland. So there's something going on there. It's a case, again, where you're dipping down and you can see something's changing right in that area. So we'll continue not only to work with City of Newport Beach, but also with Huntington Beach, because you can see, to a lesser extent, there's still a problem there. It's a lower flow, but there's obviously some sort of intrusion, infiltration.
Is it right on the coast?
It's right at the power plant. So in essence, that's all right on the coast. That's one big sandy plain. Again, cities have been great. Everyone is interested in solving the problem. We are all incentivized to hit it. We're all busy. We all have other manpower calls. So we're working as best we can to prioritize this and knock it out as quickly and as effectively as possible. And with that, I can answer any additional questions.
Have staff made a guesstimate of how much this would decrease the flow going to plant number two?
Using basic math, if half the water It should be less than an MGD, I would think. Just if it's 5.67 MGD out of 10 MGDs, so only a part of that's coming off the peninsula.
Okay.
You're probably looking at about an MGD and a half.
Well, that's not bad.
Any other questions?
Thank you, Rob.
Oh, one last one, if I may. Rob, so I kept looking at that little handheld device I have one at home. How accurate is that?
Accurate enough for us to know that there's a change, because it's only the relative change you care about for the triage. Once we find where the area is, that's when the CCTV will come in and you'll see the gusher.
Yeah.
Thank you.
That's basically an electrical conductivity meter, which approximate what the salinity is.
Right.
So,
thank you, Rob.
Thank you.
Good presentation. But our next item is item.
Can I make a comment?
Yeah,
Chair. I was just going to say that this issue is very important, and particularly in the operations and maintenance and for OCWD. Using reverse osmosis, we use a lot of power.
Almost 19 megawatts connected load.
Right on.
about 19 megawatts, and reverse osmosis is a large percentage of that energy usage. And I think our electrical bill is about $1.5 million a month. And so if we can shave, anything we can shave off of the energy has a very significant impact on the O&M costs. And the salinity coming into plant one used to be about 1,200 parts per million. That's what we've been used to operating, and now it's over twice that. So if we can identify these issues, and we think we can, it could be a significant savings on the O&M costs. And of course, with electrical prices, and we're 100% dependent on the utility for our power, it will add significant cost to the project. So, you know, we're all incentivized to operate all of our facilities at the lowest possible cost. And that's why this issue is so important to OCWD. And I'd like to thank Rob and his staff for working on this. Lana's in the back. Mark is in the back also. That's Mark from Newport
Beach. There he is.
So he was virtual, but now he's real. So the city is, Mark is very incentivized also to try to find the solution to this issue. And hopefully over the next six months to 9 months, we'll be able to identify the issue and then see what it would take to perform the most efficient, cost-efficient repair. So I just wanted to add that for a little bit of
Rob, context. That makes me think, do we have an idea of timeline as to when we expect we would have discovered this and started some sort of remedial work with the city?
Well, we're going to certainly help the city, and depending on what we find, then we can come back to you with the estimate.
It sounds like we're pretty close to, we know the general area. It's just,
that's I think it'll take 6 to 9 months.
At least.
Yeah. Okay, perfect.
I recognized this December last year when it was first brought to our attention, and have been a champion for us to investigate and to fix it. And I'm kind of disappointed that we're only at this extent. And I've heard before that, well, we're just kind of busy. We don't have the staff available. I say, look, here are the costs that we have involved in operating with this higher salinity. Hire somebody to get it done to help.
We are getting it done, Director. I mean, rest assured that both OC San and the city of Newport Beach have this as certainly on Mark's point, an extremely high priority. And with OC San, with all that they're going on, they've also prioritized it also.
I told Mark before, I says, save $20 million on this final expansion. So let's try to fix it to where we expect him to be.
Yeah, and we're contributing also. And if we think we need additional personnel, we'll manage that.
Shaver?
Have we completely dismantled the backboard system?
that we used to have? The backwards.
Yeah, we had a temporary system at Plant One primary clarifiers. So that we don't use anymore because we built the flow equalization tanks during the initial expansion. No, I think right now the tanks helps manage OC San through the primary treatment process so we can meter it in more evenly. The pumps were a lot of labor and time, and they were only giving us a maybe 30% of what we can produce now with the tanks having so much more storage. So that's why we were just using that during construction as a temporary means, and then we were able to abandon that project.
The water reclamation plant in Fort Worth, so it's bigger than ours, but it doesn't produce as much water. But they're still using a backwash system because of the river sediment. So I just thought I'd ask. Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Okay, are we ready for item five?
Yes. So we have a quarterly outreach update from Gina Ayala, our Director of Public Affairs, on what's been going on in terms of outreach since the last meeting in the last quarter.
Okay, thank you, Mehul, and good evening, members of the committee. In your packet, there is an outreach report that is contained, and so this PowerPoint just seeks to highlight some of the outreach activities during this last quarter. So for 2023, we did work, both staffs from the Water District and the Sanitation District, to jointly apply for awards to commemorate the 2023, the online expansion of the groundwater replenishment system. And so to date, we have been told that we've received about 13. There are a couple that we have yet to be pick up at the end of this year. But here is a listing of some of the awards that we have picked up, starting with the AAEES Grand Prize, also the ASCE Orange County Outstanding Water Wastewater Treatment Plant, ASCE Project of the Year, AQUA Excellence and Innovation, Construction Management Project Achievement Award. And we are taking the opportunity, just as we're jointly applying for these awards, we're also jointly receiving them. So typically there's a member from OC San and OCWD present when possible. Here's a couple of the other awards. The CASA Award of Excellence Capital Project, CSDA Large Project of the Year. At WEFTEC, just this last week, we picked up an award as well for Project Excellence. And then Institute for Local Government Beacon Award. And there's still a couple more that we are seeking to pick up over the next coming months. And if there is an opportunity to apply, we definitely will work together to bring more recognition to the groundwater replenishment system. We also continue our active tour and speakers bureau program. So we host those tours in person and virtually. It depends on the need of the group or individual. So we continue to give tours to the community at large, to educational institutions, the water industry. And we have had a kind of peak in international visitors as well. And then we do get legislative offices that visit. For Speakers Bureau, anytime we have an opportunity to go out and speak to the public, we do take an opportunity to highlight the GWRS as an innovative water supply solution. So we have seven listed here that we engaged in over the last quarter. Media reach for the coverage for the GWRS does continue. So just this last quarter, Mayhol did an interview with Spectrum One News about the GWRS. So that had 164.75 million reach. And then we were also approached by Public Cable Television Authority to do free, kind of run free 1 minute informational clips about the GWRS or about OCWD. And so OC San also worked with us on that opportunity. And so in the cities of Fountain Valley, Stanton, and Westminster, they're currently airing a 1 minute informational piece on the GWRS. And we will continue to take advantage of these free educational opportunities to make sure that the local community is educated about this project. Another media opportunity that OC San and OCWD took advantage of, we started working on this, goodness, back in, I think, 2022. And we were approached by an organization called Viewpoint, who is run by Dennis Quaid. And it's a public TV program that highlights programs across the U.S. About educational endeavors. And so they approached OCWD and OC San. So we partnered on this endeavor. At that time, it was Jim Herberg and past president Steve Sheldon. So they were the ones that were featured in this. And so it just began airing. So the 5-minute video began airing on public TV in September, and then networks do have about a year to air that program. When we do get a link of it, we'll be sure and send that out as well. And then just wanted to end by saying the GWS, we did have an opportunity to commemorate the final expansion with VIP and media and stakeholders. And then later, we also took an opportunity this summer to convene the two staffs of OCWD and OC San to highlight this important expansion. So those are just a couple pictures of our joint employee lunch. That concludes my presentation, unless there are any questions.
Question?
Director Shaw. I just wanted to thank the folks for getting some of those television programs out to the public cable television authority. We were able to get those aired, and especially with our completion program, and it was very informative and well done. So thank everyone for that, Chad, please.
Thank you very much. Wait, do we have any director's announcements or reports? Director Schauber?
Yeah, I just wanted to thank all you guys that reached out to me. If you're going to break your hip transplant, don't do it if you're going to break your leg at the same time. Anyway, I was very fortunate. 7.5 hours of surgery at UCI. They did a remarkable job. But I know a lot of you sent your well wishes and prayers. It made a lot of difference. My doctor released me Thursday to walk like a real guy, no more chimpanzee, and I'll be at the next OC San meeting. So thank you all very much.
It's great to have you back. Anybody else? All right. General Manager's report? Mahul? Mike? Rob? I'm not sure which one that is.
No, nothing to report. Thank you. Okay.
No report, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Our next GWRS steering committee meeting will be in 3 months. So, would anybody like to agendize any items? Anything? Van? Don't see him coming up with anything. If you do have anything you want to put on, just reach out to me and we'll...
Dated reports.
Right. Yes.
January 8th, next meeting.
And then in November, Director Green and I will be in Tucson, I believe. You're receiving an award. So we'll report back to all of you.
Las Vegas, too.
Mr. Chair, what time is that? Sand, State of the Sand. Is it 11?
11.
11.
11. Same place, right?
Yes. Yep. Fountain Valley.
Gotcha.
Perfect. All right. We will adjourn to our next meeting. Thank you, everybody.
Thank you.